Welcome to Polycast, a civilization podcast focused on game strategy.
Dan Q.
Makalua.
The Mian Team.
Ed Jin.
With guest co-hosts
Dino Yoshi.
Rasta K.
You can rotate the camera inside Civ 6. Breaking news.
I saw that.
Wow.
So you can see the game from a variety of different angles.
Oh, that'd be great in diplomacy. The leader would be like, hey, this is my bad side. Turn the camera.
Yeah.
Welcome to episode 263. This is Rasta K from Civ Fanatics. Joining me today are Daniel Quick.
Intentional accident.
Mad Jin.
Oh, trolling.
Makalua.
He's trolling. It's every day for him.
And last but not least, Dino.
Troll.
Dino, what have you been doing?
I don't know. What have I been doing?
Have you been trolling people?
Maybe. I mean, I am replacing Phil right now, so it only makes sense that I'm trolling people.
Well, actually, you are replacing the replacement.
That's even worse.
He's a replacement.
Civilization 6, information shared, city conquest, religion founded, declarations of war, weapons of mass destruction strikes. Oh, okay, nukes confirmed. Presumably.
You can find out somebody got their face nuked off. Probably because of the mushroom cloud.
Yeah.
Next access level, alliances. Ooh, alliances. Are those like permanent alliances that you could win the game with?
Oh, gosh.
Denunciations, cities founded, trade deals enacted, and trade deals engaged. Cities founded. We're going to get notifications when cities are founded with a certain access level. That'd be good intel to know, especially when you contact an AI and you see a city name and you don't know how many cities they have. But if you start getting notifications, so-and-so is founding a city, so-and-so is founding a city, could the next access level tell us where on the map it is?
That would be helpful.
Click here to pinpoint where the city was founded.
Hey, I got to tell you that they founded the city and what it's building, but I'm not going to tell you where it is.
That's
we're
classified.
We're reporting from a secret location.
Classified information. Can't tell you where it is.
Hey, but the good news is the stuff that you're listing right now sounds like stuff that human players would be doing, and therefore would mean it's slightly more important in multiplayer.
That's a good point.
Also means France's bonus to getting more knowledge is actually better.
So there's more to diplomacy in multiplayer than a pointy stick? What?
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 First look at Germany in Civilization 6. We have Frederick Barbarossa, who is leading Germany. And of course, there is always the requisite, how come they're leading Germany and not ... But that's for every Civilization announcement. What else is new? We've got a unique unit in the U-boat. We have a unique, district? The Hansa? Yeah. And there is the leader bonus and the special ability. We'll start with that and come back to the other uniques. Holy Roman Emperor for Frederick, additional military policy slot, and +7 combat strength when attacking city-states. And the special ability, Free Imperial Cities, can build one more district than the population limit would normally allow. And this is how I'm going to summarize the Civilization community discussion about Germany. Like, additional military policy slot, woo! Dislike, Germany, a military-focused civ, again, attacking city-states does not sound desirable, unlike in or less so than Civilization V even. Submarine unique unit, land-based unique unit more representative, and of course, bonus for attacking city-states, Germany is the new Mongolia.
And a partridge in a pear tree.
Doom, doom.
And we know who Dan's going to be playing in his first game.
Oh wait, didn't you mention the Hansa is supposed to be a commercial district? But that was one of the other complaints.
Oh yes, it's a major production bonus if adjacent to a commercial hub district, standard production bonus for each adjacent resource, minor production bonus for adjacent district tiles, and of course that opens up to what's the difference between standard and minor production, blah 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 blah, +2 production citizen yield, there's maintenance, I think all of the districts have a maintenance cost with them, 30 base production, yes, the replacement for the industrial zone, the U-boat requiring electricity. It is the presumably replaces submarine. Yeah, I think that's pretty safe to say. Has a lower production cost and receives a combat bonus in deep ocean.
I think the additional policies are nice because you can kind of hit all three. Increase strength, reduce upkeep, production bonuses for building units. You know, it will be kind of nice to be able to slot all those in. And I think there's like some governments actually have three or four anyway that you can get, right? So that would make four or five.
Yeah, there was a comment with some of the later government types with the additional military policy slot. You could have 7 or 8 or even 9 if you take into account wildcard. And I know, Mac, you made the comment about, you know what civilization I'm going to be playing first in Civilization 6. Well, mm-hmm. Don't want to just be taking over every city-state because you can, because there's some really nice bonuses, especially early on. But if you're realizing, hey, this person is allied with the city-state, or, oh, this city-state gives whatever yield and you don't think it's going to be beneficial to you, then you go and you take it over. And if you've already got bonus for attacking city-states, plus you got an additional military policy slot, that could be a way to expand very quickly as opposed to peacefully or going after AI proper. It's like, hey, the city-state is between me and you. I want to get closer to you, so I'm going to get closer to you. Please don't mind me while I take the city-state. You can't have it. All mine.
Yeah, and that attack bonus, does that count against levied armies? I mean, that could help too.
Yeah, and now you get into considerations of, so how are you going to defend against Germany? Well, I guess it's, if there are city-states that you want to ally become the suzerain, am I pronouncing that properly, control that city-state, you may want to look at city-states that are closer to you. I mean, we really don't know how it's going to play out in terms of city-states protecting themselves, but it would be in your best interest, I think in general, to be looking for city-states that are close to you and that are you think that are going to be beneficial to you. But then there are also these things called barbarians. Sending trade routes out and whatnot. You want to be able to protect that. Want to be able to just protect the city-state in general. But it just kind of feels like whenever a new civilization is revealed, it's like, man, civilization seems overpowered. I need to take them out first because they're going to be a problem on the map because they're going to be gobbling up cities or they're going to be gobbling up the culture or they're going to be gobbling up the faith. And it's, well, yes, that's good to know. I would also say that if Germany is landlocked, they're going to be a little sad face because that U-boat isn't going to help very much.
They shouldn't be able to... Like subs in general, able to attack cities. Since at that level, U-boat wise, early game, they really didn't have big bombardment type weapons on those things.
I do think that the plus 10 base strength in deep ocean is actually pretty thematic, though. If you saw the video, you'll see that it actually outclassed that battleship.
Yeah, it seemed like people wanted, if not a land-based unique unit for Germany instead of a U-boat, then in addition to, but... I think with not only the additional attack for city-states, but even some people are like, oh, I never attack city-states. I'm not going to want to do that. Well, fine. You've got an additional military policy slot. So pretty sure that's going to help you, whether it's a land-based war or water-based war or presumably later on in the game, air comes into effect. And now you probably might be wondering, why are we talking about Germany first when, since the last time we recorded a Polycast episode, there was another civilization, another first look for Civilization VI introduced first? That's because this introduction to Germany kind of leads into the next topic that also had to deal with Germany, but very quickly it became not about Germany.
Gamescom was, isn't it in Germany? But then they were playing Civ. Yep. Everybody was playing Civ, so.
Go Gamescom.
Yep. Lots of live gameplay from Gamescom. IGN has some of it. I think a lot of other sites had bits of it. I think even the main Civ channel uploaded one as well. So
mm-hmm. Yeah, there's been multiples.
But now you can see a little more of what it looks like. Still probably not the final build and all that.
Yeah, probably not.
2 months to go.
Yeah, on Facebook's like, just release it, would you? And the response was,
not till October.
It'll be worth the wait, smiley face. I mean, yeah, all you had to do if you wanted to play Civilization VI first is, you know, hop onto a plane to Germany. Go to Gamescom.
Gosh.
I mean, why didn't everybody do that? Why didn't we do that? Aw, we missed an opportunity.
We could have had live turncast.
Yes, we could. And then we would have had a live audience for the musical portion. And...
No.
But from the live stream from Gamescom, according to Supremacy King 2, they just showed the religion victory screen. And there are screenshots. To win a religious victory, you need at least 50% of all cities following your religion. And then a minute later, at least according to the timestamp from Thomas Clark, your religion must be dominant with every civilization, major and minor. A religion is dominant, again, 50% of their cities. And then Big J Money, predominant in both major and minor. City-states, question mark, and then someone said, must mean city-states, either that or there is a big reveal coming. I don't know if someone on the panel knows about that response or not, other than me.
No, I don't recall that.
Says the person who said it or typed it. I love quoting people when they're on the panel and they can just quote themselves. It's great. I may do that again later.
Good.
Primacy King 2, apostles could launch an inquisition in addition to evangelizing beliefs and enabling religious combat. We talked about religious combat on the last episode. And also, now from Supremacy King, apostle units get special abilities like extra movement. You can also use apostles to add extra beliefs to your religion. So you get your great prophet to get your religion, and then to further your religion, you don't great prophet? Or you can great prophet and apostle too?
Yeah, I was going to say, it says like a great prophet to found and an apostle to spread.
Or, and enhance, and...
Yeah.
Yeah, there. I think people in the forum have kind of realized that there might be a problem with the great people system when it comes to prophets, because it seems that you can only get one, because there's been multiple screenshots that said the ex-civ has already gotten one and can't get another one as the player. And then there's other ones where they actually saw it was like, they had 900 and some odd great person points out of something, which means that they went like way over the line. So yeah, there's something fishy in the great prophet side of things, because
there's something they have not explained to us yet.
Yeah, because it seems you can get great prophet points to get a great prophet and then completely ignore all your great prophet points, even though there's multiple buildings and other such things that still give them to you all game long.
Do you start using them to purchase apostles?
No, that's faith.
Yeah, great profit points, really over not being able to do anything with it. What does that remind me of? Generating faith and having a whole bunch of faith and not being able to generate something right away.
Most games, Dan doesn't get to found a religion.
Once again, there's this kind of twist with religion, and it's just like, so when it comes to great people, it works like the others, except when it doesn't. It's like, oh, okay. I mean, maybe other great people, right. You get into that situation too, but all this focus on great profit points and not being able to do something with them when you're so over. So does that mean right now, or is that forever in the game? Like, you max out on great people, like you could max out a number of religions? It seems kind of weird.
Possibly maybe you hit a different era, and then you have a reformation with a great prophet.
Or an apostle, because you can use apostle to add extra beliefs to your religion, or both.
Yeah, that might be why you can only have the one great prophet. Like, you can get one in the classical and ancient era, but then you can't do that again until, say, the medieval era.
Oh, tying it to eras. Oh, sure. Eagle Pursuit also noted from the video, you can raise cities, even capitals. Thank you, if that is true. Does that mean we can raise city-states, too? If it's like, why did you settle here? That's another reason. It's like, well, I have to keep this city that's one hex off the river because it's the capital.
Finally, you can conquer whatever annoying civ got you and then watch them burn.
Bye-bye. Or maybe you can help herbs do it.
Yeah. Then we went from Gamescom live streams of Germany in Civilization VI, as in not official developer publisher live streams, to an official developer live stream that kind of stole the show. Unintentionally.
I have no clue what you're talking about, because it doesn't exist. It never happened.
So for everybody that missed it.
Stop talking about it right now.
No, we're not going to stop talking about it.
It never happened.
Yes, it...
If it's not written down somewhere in a video, it didn't happen.
There are screenshots. It happened.
Nope. Those are clever forgeries.
Yeah, they were showing off Germany, and whoops, we left the Civilpedia open where you could see who all the other civs were.
And I feel sad, because I was in that live stream, or at least in the chat for the live stream, and then I left, and apparently about 10 minutes after I left the live stream, that's when it happened. It was very sad. Well, the looks on their faces was apparently priceless when they realized what they just did.
It was lead designer Ed Beach, and was it Anton Stranger? Is that who the other person was?
No, it was Andrew, a guy from the XCOM side.
Okay.
Because various people were over at GamesCon, so pretty sure they borrowed Andrew from the XCOM side of things. I think he was from XCOM.
Now, Kevin Schultz, the XCOM marketing manager for Axis, said, tune in early to the live stream to hear the amazing Civilization VI soundtrack. Did that happen?
Yep. There was music, and people listened to it, and they were happy, sort of. Some people were trying to guess which songs were for which civ. You know, the usual... Some people like it, some people didn't, whatever.
Seemed like it was mostly positive in the thread.
Yeah, for the music side.
Yep.
I think it was mostly positive in the thread for the screenshot. Oops. A lot of people were happy that it happened.
Yeah, the video may be down, but the screenshot lives forever.
Yeah. In the video that doesn't exist, apparently, yes. The full listing of all the leaders. So just to quickly list them off, Catherine Demenzi, Medicini. Yeah, there you go. That's how, what I'm going to call her this time. She's changed her family name. Anyways, France, Cleopatra for Egypt, Frederick Barbarossa for Germany, Gandhi. And no, seriously, people, and this is just a random split off. If there's Civilopedia right now, 2 months before release, says the word Gandhi in it, it's not just a mascot. It's a good chance he's in the game. And trying to deny it all you might, it's still not going to prevent it from actually being in the game, because this is a screenshot of the game.
Wait, I'm sorry, people are denying Gandhi in the game. What?
Nope. Even with the screenshot, they're like, nope. I think somebody broke their brain trying to come up with a reason why that wouldn't actually be Gandhi, and said that, oh, it was possibly a placeholder. Development placeholder, because, you know, they've got to flush things out and then they'll make changes later. So they just use one in. And of course, Gandhi's name is big enough. So why not? They'll just throw that in there. And of course, they'll change it later. Don't worry.
Oh, but they don't say what Gandhi's first name is. So it could be a different Gandhi than what we're thinking of. There's that too.
That was a different answer. That Gandhi himself is the Civilization game mascot. And they'll... No, that actually was said.
I know. It's just hysterical. Like,
it's your mascot. What?
Oh, man.
And they use his face in advertisements and trailers. Like, his face is one of the first things you see in the trailer. But no, he's not in the game. Maybe it'll be Indira instead.
No, you see, what happened is the trailer for Civilization VI and the release of Civilization VI, it's going to be like Suicide Squad. See, where they put stuff in the trailer, but it doesn't actually make it into the final product. See, that's what's going on.
I don't think Gandhi's Jared Leto.
Yeah. Anyways, we have Gilgamesh for Sumeria, although people already had guessed that. Gorgo, Queen of Sparta. And this, of course, spawns its own problems. So we'll skip that for now. Harald Hardrada, blah, blah, blah. The Last Viking King. And apparently his name is spelled wrong because they don't know how to use umlauts or other such dots. Anyways, but he's from Norway. Or Norse, they haven't quite said one way or another. Hojo for Japan, obviously. Monty for Aztecs. Movemba Anazinga. That messed people up because they kept calling him Alfonso.
Well, I think that might actually be what he was called or known as also.
No, that's actually his real name. Alfonso is just the name that he got after he Christianized.
Yeah, that's what I meant. It was a name he did use, at least.
Yeah, a real name. Pedro II, obviously, of Brazil. People know. Pericles, people already guessed that one for Greece. And again, we'll come back to that. Peter for Russia as a guess. I mean, it does say just Peter. So Philip II for Spain. Kinshi Shuang, Ahong. Never mind. I haven't had enough coffee yet. For China, which is known. Saladin, which was known for Arabia. And not on the actual screenshot, obviously, was Teddy and Victoria, Trajan for Rome, which was already kind of known. Total comes down to put people's confusion away. There is 18 base game civs from looking at the screenshot, plus Monty to be 19. So there you go. It's still there. But there will be 20 leaders.
Uh-huh. And that's the rub, right? That's what we got to come back to.
Yeah, it's one of those things you have to roll back to. Queen Gorgo and Pericles, both from Greece. Gorgo, Sparta, Pericles, Athens. Remember back in the day when people are saying on the multiple leader side, okay, there was Germany, and then the next one was Greece, because Pericles was Greece, and Barbarossa was there, and then they started saying, there couldn't possibly be another Greek leader, so it must have been a different one. Yeah. Oopsies. And for those people, no, she's not the Gorgo from 300.
But I am pretty shocked. Thought for sure that multiple leaders would be a DLC or a just mod thing. I'm pretty surprised.
Oh, yeah. There's that side of thing. And the civet's not in the game, which makes me sad. Like, there should be a civet with civet leader. I mean, it was on the paper, too.
Well, you know, the game isn't released yet. They can still add him in. They've got time to add it, like a whole new civ. Or just replace one of these leaders on here. You know, replace the least popular one. There you go.
Yep. So, yeah, the whole point, I think, for the multiple leaders with what Rastak was saying was Greece has two. Spain has one leader at the beginning, and then Isabella is apparently going to be DLC. And then after that, who knows? not everybody gets a double leader, but could easily be just, here's the basis to start with. Do all the work up front to allow for multiple leaders, which was a Civ 4 thing for anybody who doesn't know. And then, of course, modders. Don't like Gandhi? Make your own leader.
Yeah, and that's going to be pretty cool. The fact that it's kind of supported by the base game, I think it'll be real interesting to see all the different leaders that people come up with.
Well, that's the thing. They don't have to come up with a whole new Civ to be unique. They can just say, okay, France is in the game. Well, I liked Napoleon, or I liked blah, 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 blah. Well, very quick, make new leaders.
Yeah, exactly.
I think there was maybe one or two I don't think I was really expecting to see in there, or like at the same point, some of them that were on that list, then that original list of the pictures that weren't in there, that kind of confused me too, because I'm like, well, I was kind of thinking Poland might have made the base game, actually. That's the one that probably surprises me the most.
Yeah, no. I think the thing to remember for that original list is that there was already 4 DLC pre-thought of because of the digital deluxe one, which just means that Poland was just going to be one of those DLC because they didn't pop into there. So, I mean, it was kind of like you knew that there was DLC coming and that some leaders were going to be in it. And so somebody in the 22 wasn't going to make the base game. It just happened to be Poland.
Yes, but then we had the Aztecs, which actually ended up showing up as that weird pre-order bonus. Then they're not actually considered in one of those 4. So yep. That kind of threw the entire thing off, too. Are they really the DLC civs, or did we have multiples here and maybe these are all going to be in the base game? But
well, Mati will be in the base game after 90 days for people who decided not to pre-order it, but also decided to buy it before the 90 days is up, which, again, is weird. So, yeah, he's technically not one of the 18, but he will be base game and basically free.
Yes, but when you pre-ordered it, if you got the deluxe edition, it's the first 4 DLCs, which to me would mean there's probably one leader in each one of them. So if there were only 3 left on that list that aren't going to make it in.
Oh, no, no. I think the mention for what the DLCs were leader, div, maps. So one of those 4 DLC is guaranteed to be like some crappy map pack.
Yeah, that's kind of what I was thinking might be happening, too, is that one of them is just going to be maps and nothing else. Or maybe it'll be like that Wonders of the Ancient World for Civ 5, and it'll include, like, new scenario. Wonders.
Wonders. Yeah, very possible. Or it includes a new Civ because it's needed for the scenario.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, lots of different ways they can do. If they just put out something like Babylon from Civ 5, where there's like, okay, no scenario, no nothing. It's just you want this Civ in your game, you have to pay $5. I don't think that many people would end up buying it, except for the people who really wanted it, and say they did that to Poland. It'd still get bought a lot, but I think there'd be weirdness with that. Because I think most people, even from the Civ 5 experience, were more preferential towards DLC that included, say, scenarios and other stuff, not just a straight-up Civ.
Yeah, like how we got Inca in Spain.
And a scenario. Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
And at the same time, too, I think Poland is probably one of them that would sell well as DLCs just because of the response with them being in Civ 5. And seemed like they even had like a special cover for the box in Poland, which...
Well, sure. They're all happy.
Yeah, so making them a separate DLC, I think, makes a lot of sense at that point, just because...
If you're just considering a pure marketing argument, which also on the forums I'm against the purely marketing arguments, then it's not going to sell as well outside of Poland, which is why it is a little bit better that they'd be in an expansion pack.
Okay. But
hopefully they come with a scenario or something that makes sense.
Yep.
Yeah.
I hope 2K and Firaxis do in fact release this video, even if it is edited. Although I don't know why you would at this point. Like, it's out there, just roll with it, honestly, because that's kind of what the tone has almost kind of turning to, which is, can we just watch the live stream? Because there wasn't just that was revealed, although that of course got all the press. There were other things that people would like to see as well. But if you're really that concerned about it, just cut it out and upload it. Pretty simple. I guess otherwise, from the video, military policies called logistics gives all of your units +1 movement in your territory, according to Supremacy King 2. And then someone, I don't know, that C talked about, looks like you can make the AI promise not to do stuff. And does that mean it doesn't have to be reactionary? Can it be proactive?
It looks like it's proactive because there's a screenshot where there's a list of a bunch of promises that you can tell the AI to promise you, and they'll probably ignore you because, I mean, that's what most people do anyways.
Don't bring reality into this.
But you can make them promise not to settle near you or steal your archaeological digs or yada, yada, yada. So remember in Civ 5 where they kept popping up and going, blah, 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 and you couldn't do crap about it? Yeah, now you can.
Well, please tell me that missionaries are one of the things you can tell them to stop doing. Man, that was annoying.
Well, I think that's where the religious combat comes into play now.
Yeah, that got handled separately.
It's not technically war if I declare war on your missionaries.
Yeah, so you bring those missionaries over here. I will bunk them.
I have a reception committee waiting for them.
It's like, I'm not declaring war on your body, just your soul. It's okay.
Yeah.
It's different.
Yep, yeah, that's going to be interesting. They haven't fleshed that out yet, or at least the information to us. That'll be cool.
Oh, yeah, there's still bits and pieces of the religion mechanics that we're not sure about. I mean, people know that they can fight, and they've seen the fancy light thing for what happens when they fight, but I don't think anybody's actually said what happens after you beat somebody up that way. Yep. Is it anything? Do you just kill the units, and everybody's all happy, whatever?
Can your religious units heal if it's in combat?
Yeah.
And all these, yeah.
Then you can have your great apostle that roams the land smiting all the religions by bunking all the missionaries on the head.
And there's a point to that now with the religious victory.
Mm-hmm. There's a good reason other than stop sending your crap over here.
Something about a new mechanic city siege from Supremacy King. And then someone responded to that. And that was the same person that talked about making the AI promise not to do stuff. That could be someone on the panel that responded. I don't know. Could be.
City siege mechanic? Yes, if all six tiles around a city are occupied, the city does not heal, which is a cool thing, except the adjustments to that is if there's mountains beside the city, then they count as part of the siege, so you don't have to have units on top of mountains. So do not put your city as, like, Gondor or some of the other
tidy hole ones. Against the mountains thinking that's going to help you.
Yeah, that doesn't help you. That actually makes your city sieged better.
It'll help you with the faith adjacency bonuses, which also makes you more desirable to be taken over. But it's good to know.
Yeah, that makes you a little bit easier to be conquered. But on the other side, water. So people have been all happy about not having to settle directly on the coast to be able to build ships because you have harbors and they can be built further away. They don't have to be adjacent or anything. But if your city is coastal, people would have to bring boats to lock down the water on top of locking down the land. So you can surround it on land, but if you don't surround it in the water, then it's not fully sieged.
So this is one of these things that's probably only ever going to be seen the live stream before the game releases, and since most of us were not able to watch it because we had to do other things, like be at work, we're never going to know about it.
Exactly. Aren't you glad I watched it for like 10 seconds?
Uh-huh.
I think that was about it. I mean, there are little details here and there, but unfortunately no one can watch them.
Yeah. Speaking of other civilizations that are not Mongolia, although a Mongolian comparison was also made to these people, because why not?
So Firaxis released the first look at Scythia, which I thought was pretty cool because it's the first time appearing in the series. And for me, at least, it was the one that really confirmed that that poster actually had the real leaders on it. And then, of course, that removed all doubt. They do look like an interesting military civ. Bonus against wounded units and a small heal for a kill. That's not bad. The fact that when they build a light cavalry or their Saka horse archers, they get 2-for-1. So they're pretty mobile. Kurgans, which you can create to produce faith and gold. There's some restrictions on them, so I don't think you can just completely spam them. But that's kind of synergizes, and especially with that policy logistics, where you could really create a really fast mobile force and pretty early. And then the last thing was the agenda, I believe it is. She hates surprise wars. So again, we could have this cascading effect with some of these civs in there. Tamiris is the leader.
What's a immediate community reaction when we're talking about the Saka horse archer? Stop with the unique horse units not requiring horse nonsense.
It's kind of true.
I mean, it's abstracted.
Yeah, kind of in there, but or at least make sure they get treated as a horse so that your spearmen can go poke them.
You could always have it be that their bias is to start near a horse resource. So then it's not like, hey, You know, I didn't start near horse reserve, so now I can't use my unique unit. You wouldn't want to get screwed that way either, I could see. Or, you know, like, there's no horse on the map. Or there is horse on the map, but by the time I get horse on the map, this unit's usefulness is gone.
Mm.
I get that. But then I guess the question becomes, what's its strength as compared to other units at the time that can be fielded? Just because you have a lot of them doesn't mean they're going to be more effective. I'm not saying as effective, but necessarily more effective than, say, less units of another type. And we also don't know if it can be that you can still construct whatever unit it is that they're replacing, presumably. Because we've seen that as well.
Mm.
That it's like, oh, you can construct, I think it was with Japan, right? Yeah, you can construct a samurai, but you can also construct a swordsman if you want to.
Yeah.
So let's not get the cart before the horse. I do like that, although we don't know the name of the special ability of this civ, you know, combat units receive a bonus versus wounded opponents. I like how it's being described as the mean dudes. On Well of Souls, they use that description, but they put it in square brackets because it's not the actual name, apparently. But I do like that. Mean dudes. Why would that be mean? That's strategic. They're already wounded.
Yeah.
Finish them off.
Yep. Eat them.
And then heal when defeating a unit. Yeah, you feel really great about yourself. I mean, that's how you heal, clearly.
Also, it could just be simply, you people, get on a horse. You now work for us. Or you die. One of the two.
And why do we not know the name of the unique ability yet? Because it sounds like we know what's in it. So have they just not decided on a name yet? Or
there's been a little inconsistencies about actually naming everything. Like, mostly the agendas. That was the thing most people in the first look videos, no mention of the agendas. And then they pop up later.
We're working on the awesome cool name.
Scythia gets the unique improvement, the Kurgan, but we don't know what it requires. We don't know what the yield is, we just know that it provides faith in gold and receives an adjacency bonus from pastures.
Yeah, and when is it available, too, is another question.
Mm-hmm.
To go again with the inconsistency of releasing information.
Yep.
Otherwise, community reaction. Horse archer seemingly replaces the horseman, or it replaces the archer, or...
Nope.
Well, I don't know why you'd jump to that. She doesn't like surprise wars being declared on her? Well, I don't think it should come as a surprise to her. If she's rampaging through other lands that she gets declared on, quite honestly, otherwise, and that's a her problem. And then, of course, there is the full story of this leader's historical bloodlust true. I just kind of like that side conversation, this fascination with what this leader apparently did or did not do, according to conflicting reports.
Mm-hmm.
I guess when you're missing some in-game information, you might as well turn to the historical considerations.
Oh, yes. And of course, the most important argument of all.
I hear the air quotes. Yes.
Actually, to me, is it Scythia or is it Scythia? That is the biggest argument, and it's important.
Well, it depends if you're her friend or not.
Mm, that too.
I liked Pete Murray for Axis Marketing Associate. He tweeted out, Civ 6, Monty, hey, scrub, give me your lunch money. Me. But the Monty's like, I'm gonna, and the Tarmus is like, gonna do what, punk?
Yeah, that was good. That was good.
Yeah, it could very well be Tomaris versus Monty in every single match, or others. Tomaris could be just like that pacifier of the areas. If anybody gets uppity, she starts going for them.
Yep, I can just see it now. Tomaris and Monty. They fight hard, and they play hard. Everybody dance now. Oh, that's the fanfic. Never mind. Recorded for episode 262 with Dan Q, Makalua, the Mian Team, Mad Jin, and Blauerfackle. Civilization 6 gameplay video on the interwebs.
There are so many bad gameplay videos on the interwebs right now.
They're so bad.
There's a collection of videos out there that show off various aspects of the gameplay because 2K obviously flew out a bunch of, what are we calling them, influencers, YouTube content creators, whatever.
I think there was actually less YouTubers than there was bloggers.
And that's fair, but, you know, there are also some just plain old YouTubers that I'm sure that if you've been in strategy gaming community, you've probably heard of at least some of these people. Obviously, you can find these videos in a bunch of different languages as well, which is nice. You know, they're making an effort. Unfortunately, boy, 2K really, really, really does not know who they should have been inviting to this thing. Between the NDA leaks and just the quality of some of these videos, I'm going to save you a little bit of time. Go look up Arax, Arumba, and Quill 18, and don't bother with the rest of them.
Well, no, Marvazir. Don't forget Marvazir.
Yeah, Marvazir's quite good.
Okay, Marvazir is actually way better than Quill.
That was one of the ones I actually didn't get my hands on, so fair enough. I mean, if you've got any more suggestions to throw in the mix, feel free. I grabbed about a half a dozen of them, and it was like 50% of them were crap.
Yeah. Basically, if the person is a YouTuber and they've played Civ 5 before, then they might be worth watching. If it comes from a gaming site, don't bother.
Well, I mean, I will give one of them some credit in that there was a YouTuber that goes by Arex, who I usually go to for Monster Hunter-related content. For some reason, he got in on this, despite having never played a Civ game before, and it was kind of nice to get a brief, like, 7 minutes of, hey, I'm a new person, and this is my view of this game. It's actually not that bad for a newbie to jump into. This is what's really interesting about it. So, if you're trying to, like, evangelize for the franchise, maybe not such a bad idea. They could have done a lot worse.
Yep.
Honestly, it's like, I really, really wish that they had done a little bit more research, because I think you and Dan would have done a much better job about getting the word out as to what you were able to get your hands on with these pre-release content, you know?
I actually talked to some of the people who were there, so I don't want to actually say who, blah, 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 but no one was given anything. Like, no information packet, no help while they were recording, nothing like that. It was just kind of, yeah.
That's surprising.
Actually. Have fun.
I will say that does kind of play into the advantage of, if you're experienced with Civ, you may have been able to get more out of, what were they given, like 3 hours to play around with, you know, because obviously you're having a knowledge pool to draw from, you're not having to ask some really basic questions. Having said that, there are some that are supposedly veterans of these games that, while I was able to glean some useful information from them, I was also able to glean that same useful information from other better content creators.
Yeah. I mean, there's at least one video out there from one of the bloggers that, yeah, people on CFC are actively telling people not to bother watching because it was so painful.
I think when it comes to videos like this, there's also a line between entertaining and informing. I think for us on the panel and those probably listening to the show, we're looking for information first, and we're looking for information that, if it's not different than what has already been disclosed or additional to what's disclosed, it's okay. We could find this information out by reading a thread or looking at a screenshot. We want to see someone actually play with it, and what does that look like in-game? Mm-hmm. Right?
Yeah, like,
I don't know. I think, yes, they could have picked different people, but they probably had their stupid reasons, as usual, why they only picked certain people versus others.
Well, I can certainly understand having a cross-section of people in terms of what they're going to show, how they're going to show it, whether they're going to make commentary, whether they're not going to make commentary. Yes, I think having some experience with Civilization at this point in time would be a very good prerequisite, because you only have so many turns and you only have so much time. And quite frankly, I would expect a lot of them, if it's frustrating for us to watch the video, that person was probably also frustrated. Even if they don't recognize, I really should be showing more. A lot of them, it's like, we really haven't done anything, or you don't understand why this has happened. But if you'd only done this X number of turns ago, like if someone can see that at a glance, they probably recognize, I don't know how interesting this is to watch. So maybe if you're not as comfortable with the game itself, if you're thinking about less informing, or informing is going to be incidental. Oh, I didn't realize I showed you guys that. That just happened to show up on screen while I was playing. Make it entertaining. And if you fail, laugh at yourself. Honestly. Even market it as, here's how not to play the game, LOL.
Yeah. You know? I suppose, at least from the cross-section that I grabbed, and like I said, I grabbed about a half dozen of these things, it felt like whoever was making the decision of who to get for this stuff really was not that familiar with who they were inviting to this thing. Like, there are some people where it's like, I would not want them to be evangelizing for my product, because they do such a poor job conveying information just generally that watching their videos would be annoying or confusing or just generally unhelpful, you know?
I mean, really, the quality of the videos comes down to a few problems. Like, one, if you look at Marbazir's video, he said right off the mark, this was all pre-recorded video back from the event, and he had to do post-commentary.
Yeah.
Which means probably most of their other ones also had to do post-commentary.
Yes.
So not only did they record it without really knowing too much about it, they didn't get to do commentary on it till later, so they'd actually have to stop and remember what they were doing, plus what mechanics, and if they didn't write stuff down or know it very well, then their explanations of what they're doing was going to be kind of rough. So I think on this part, it's a bit of a marketing fail. Like, if they had no one helping them, if they didn't give them the information for, say, we know you're going to do post-commentary, here's information on mechanics, and here's information on stuff so that you can talk about it at the very least without having to try and remember.
Yeah, you want to set people up for success. Even if it's, okay, we want you to play this for 150 turns, we're not going to give you any guidance whatsoever, but then after the game was over, here's a bunch of information. So then maybe the person could say, like, do their commentary after the fact, like on screen. Okay, you see what I did here? That wasn't a smooth move. I should have, in fact, done this. But to give people no information at the start and then afterwards, I mean, you're leaving them to their own devices. I mean, I guess if the people who put the video together knew that was going to be the case, I hope they knew going into that, you know, that they, okay, expect to receive nothing. But then, you know, and it's also at the same time, like, how much could they publicly say with regards to that? But maybe just even say, you know, I went into this cold. I didn't know what to expect. All I knew was about what I was able to read or what anyone else was able to read online before this particular point in time. Maybe even talk about in preface, like in the first few minutes, okay, this is my first Civilization title in 2 years. I've played Civilization for 10,000 hours. I've never played Civilization before. Give the people in the audience also an idea of some kind of context about what you may or may not expect.
That's actually one of the reasons why I mentioned the three people that I did, is because they were very clear as to, hey, this is the situation that I walked into, this is my experience with the franchise previously, you know, here's some of the stuff that I can actually talk to you about, you know, try shy away from stuff that I can't. They were, in my opinion, much more clear, upfront, and useful. And if you'll forgive a little bit of speculation on my part, it really felt like, overall, 2K just kind of did a grab bag of bloggers and content creators, threw them on Firaxis, and then Firaxis kind of dropped the ball on scrambling to figure out what to do with them.
Who knows? I guess we'll have to wait for quality later.
I mean, to be fair, like I said, you can find some good videos out there, but be warned, they're diamonds in the rough at this point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And of course, word of mouth is also important. Not necessarily the comments in response, although you can gauge people's maturity from their responses. But hopefully, if you're listening to this show, in addition to our recommendations, you don't have to take our word for it. If you have people in gaming circles and it's like, hey, have you been reading up on Civ 6? Have you watched any Civ 6 videos? What do you recommend? Then you can use that as a basis of, okay, I'm only going to watch these videos, but I'm going to watch these videos first. So then if you get to a video that wasn't on that list and it ticks you off, then it's not like, oh, this is the first video I chose at random. It's crap, so I'm not going to watch any of the videos because they must all be crap. At the same time, don't assume all of them are good. Don't assume all of them are bad. Just take them for what they are, a first look of varying degrees of successes. And if you like what you see on screen but you don't like the commentary, press the mute button.
Well, the problem is you also may like the commentary, but not what you see on screen.
Well, then that's easy. Then switch to another tab or minimize the window and let the audio play.
Just listen. Dreamy voice.
I mean, you already listened to Polycaster. You're used to dreamy voices, so you're already a step ahead of the game. Recorded for episode 261 with Dan Q, Makalua, Majin, Alchemical Dream, and the Chris D. The biggest Civilization 6 changes, and really this is just a summary. I think it does a very decent job of trying to consolidating a lot of the information we had as of 1st of July. I must admit, when I first read that, I thought, excuse me, that's not new. That was in Civilization 5, and it's okay. It falls under the biggest changes in terms of what is new and what has been modified as compared to Civ 6. And I think the order is also decent, at the very least based on the information we know, which is unstacked cities is number one on the list, which when you talk to the developers at Firaxis Game time and time again, tying back to the art style in the video. So what was like your biggest consideration deciding on the art style? Well, with the unstacked cities, how are we going to represent that on screen? Localized happiness? Oh, man. Yes, return to that instead of global happiness. Roads by trade. I like agendas and gossip.
Oh, those gossipy leaders.
Ooh, I heard the Aztecs were talking shit about you, girl.
Yeah.
Well, no, they didn't.
The gossip bit makes me wonder if they're going to take everything that basically showed them on the side of the war declarations, that you'd have to actually only hear about these war declarations by hearing it from someone else.
Fifth was unit stacking. Six, Eureka! Moments. And you have to say it like that, otherwise you're not going to understand what we're talking about. Civics is seventh, religion is eighth, multiplayer was ninth, .. And I actually thought number 10, I raised my eyebrow a little bit, because this is the most gray area. Viable play styles. Oh, that is loaded.
I'll tell you if there's viable play styles after I play it.
Yeah, that's the most generic of generic things.
Yeah. And he does talk about it in order from 1 to 10, not 10 to 1, so the last thing he talks about is viable play styles. And I'm like, oh, let's not end on this. but anyway, I think overall it is a good primer. It shouldn't be your only source of information, but it's a good start. I thought it was like a well-written Wikipedia article.
But Dan, you never mentioned number 11, World Congress ? He actually has a number 11 in there.
Well,
Dan only knows how to count to 10.
I wasn't going to bring that up because, number one, that ruins, obviously, the top 10 mystique. And it's inconsistent with the title. And why would there be World Congress ? Because Firaxis has said, and 2K has said, there isn't a World Congress.
Yeah.
Because troll.
Right?
Can't ? It.
My favorite part of this video, though, is just the first part. Because there's so many places that you can posit and get a lot of information about wonders and requirements, what they're going to do. And there's a lot of stuff in there you can pick up pausing in the right places.
To be clear, this video is not from anybody who had anything to do with Civ 6. This is somebody who, on their own channel, took the time to splice together a bunch of the already released videos and just talked over it.
Yep.
Yeah.
Or to try and catch people who are looking for everything in one kind of snippets and to profit from it.
Yeah, of course.
Recorded for episode 262 with Dan Q, Makalua, the Me and Team, Mad Jin, and Blauerfackle. In the chat, Lucky Strike NQ, I'm worried we are losing some hard choices when every tile improvement is as easy to improve as the other. I take it that's a reference to the fact that instead of a worker now, we have a builder, and when you are improving a tile with a builder, it's just poof. At the same time, there are only so many charges on a builder, so choices are going to have to be made. Plus, when are you going to build them? When are you going to work them? What could you put on that tile instead of something else? So I don't think it's that we're losing hard choices. It's just the hard choices are a little different now.
I'd be curious as to which choices he feels are disappearing, too. Because in a lot of cases, there really isn't any choice to be had. It's just this thing is such crap that you don't use it, or this is amazing so you use it. Well, okay, so you just improve that tile, but that's not really a choice, it's a false choice.
Right.
Yeah, well, I think he may be responding to the, you know, how long does it take to cut or work in the jungle? In previous Civs, Civ 5 and Civ 4 and Civ 3, that usually took forever to do. And so,
well, that's my point, though. Especially before Civ 5, there was no upside the jungle. If like a jungle start is close to strictly bad as you could get, really. Mm-hmm. Like, it just slowed down your opening so much that there was no tough choice. Like, you're just screwed.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. It's been confirmed that things like missionaries, settlers, and even builders go up in cost every time you get one, which means since they have limited charges, your new choice is, yes, they're all one turn or one thing, but what do you really need right now? And are you going to spam builders? And if their costs keep going up, probably not. What do you leave behind? And what can you use things for later?
Well, the other thing too, that I took away from the videos that I've seen, too, is that with the limit on how many hexes that you can actually develop into districts, there are going to be hard choices because there's no way that you are going to be able to get everything that you want, especially if you're going to try and play the Wonder game.
Oh, well, yeah. I mean, that was guaranteed right off the mark when they said Wonders take up tile.
Right.
like, screw you, no 50 Wonder city. Take that.
Exactly.
More importantly, it really comes down to the choice of what you're going to do. And also, of course, as Pete and Draxton both mentioned, being able to remove the bonus resources and stuff, those resources on the ground. So not just forests anymore. You can remove stone and get production, probably remove the wheat and the other stuff to get food, yada, yada, yada. So just because you have a resource on the map doesn't mean you need to leave it there.
Not only do you have that choice, but you have a choice about how you're going to remove that from the map. If you want those bonus resources to be harvested by a builder, like you could, of course, previously gathering a bunch of wood from chopping down forests, you have to send a builder to do that, and you get a big short-time production boost, which, of course, is exactly what would happen with chopping forests. But there's also the option to buy the tile to place, say, a district there, but it will remove the resource, but it does not give the production bonus. Similar to Civ 5, you could settle on some resources, but it's like, okay, if you do this, then you're going to end up removing that the resource was there, and in that case, it was just gone. It was, oh, no, you shouldn't have done that because now you can't make use of that, but now you actually have a choice. Do you really want that for the short production boost, or you're going to be thinking, okay, I could get that short production boost, or I could just have this district sooner, so there's that trade-off where you get one and not the other. You can't have your cake and eat it too. For episode 261 of Dan Q, Makalua, Majin, Alchemical Dream, and the Chris D.
I started by Dada What? I like that name, that's funny. Should he learn how to play Civ 5 in preparation for Civ 6? He's a longtime Civ fan and player. He played 2 and 4 extensively. He only played 5 a few times. Probably really didn't because, you know, life got in the way because of things. But he wants to know, playing 5 going to give you a leg up on 6?
No.
Yeah, so many of the mechanic stuff is changing that has to do with happiness and other things, and I don't know.
Yeah, well, some stuff will be similar, so there's that, as compared to Civ 4, but then other stuff won't be, so...
Yeah, I would have said yes on those very basic mechanics that change, mainly the tiles to hexes and the unit de-stacking. Obviously, Civ 6 is going to have a little bit of unit stacking, but not to the same extent. So, in essence, you could play Civ 5 to prepare yourself for Civ 6 combat.
Get used to that lot fewer units per tile, and also to get used to hexes.
Right, and so he mentions, too, that he already has it. He played it a few times.
Mm-hmm.
Why not go ahead and break it open and play it? It's a great game. Some of it's going to carry over. Every Civ game, there's some carryover. Like you guys are saying, the 33% the same. There's going to be some.
Yeah. I mean, it's not going to directly prepare you for Civ 6, obviously. Not, otherwise, it wouldn't be a new game.
Right. It might help you get your strategy thought shoes back on, so to speak. Right. But
yeah, his question was so specific. Should I learn how to play Civ 5 in preparation for Civ 6? No.
What you do is play a little bit of Civ 5 so you're not completely going, what am I doing when you open up Civ 6?
Yeah, particularly because in Civ 4, he won't have played with, obviously, social policy trees. He won't have played with religion in the case of generating faith. If he's used to those mechanics, then he'll be fine with it in Civ 6. He might not need to learn off, which is the idea of social policy. He'll just need to learn that build-ups and culture because you're going to get things from it, as opposed to just getting borders.
This is also one of those rare threads that really came to a conclusion because 3 days after he made that opening post, he said, okay, I've decided to purchase 5 and give it a good play over the coming months. Not for training purposes, air quotes, as I suggested in my opening post. As several of you suggested, the goal is likely futile and kind of lame slash depressing. I don't think it's lame slash depressing at all, and I don't think it's futile. I think it's just if you're thinking Civilization 5 is a primer on how to play Civilization 6, that's where you may end up stumbling. I think it's more about, should I play Civilization 5 because I'm excited to play Civilization 6 and I want to get back into playing Civ? Yes. As he said, I'm going to give it a shot because it will be fun and help build my excitement for October.
He's also mentioned, he enjoys the history and evolution of the franchise. He'd like to also draw his own conclusions in the shift.
What? Drawing your own conclusions?
I know. Wait a minute, using your own brain? That's
too much. What is that bad on the internet?
Free thoughts on the internet. Must shut it down. Rah, rah, rah. Troll reply.
Get back in line!
Support the ongoing Polycast Patreon campaign.
Collective achievements.
Personal incentives.
Month-to-month commitment.
For more information, visit thepolycast.net/Patreon.
Call in today.
In North America, 301-637-7659. In Europe, 44121-288-7659.
The only thing worse than being talked about is not being talked about.
Log on to the series' official website at
thepolycast.net.
There was a comment from Art Grin on CFC. Barbarossa and Teddy on the same continent is sure going to cause quite a mess. Barbarossa, I'm taking that city-state. No, you're not. Yes, I am, declares Warren City-State. No, you just didn't, declares Warren Barbarossa. War weakens both of them. Cleopatra, oh ho ho, I will crush you since your army is so puny, declares War on Teddy and Barbarossa. And then Tomris, you dishonorable monster, declares War on Cleopatra. So I guess the fanfic has already started.
Yeah, what? Yeah, true. The merging of a variety of agendas is starting to show that you don't have to worry about cheesing off one person. You could easily cheese off multiples all in one. Or yeah. You could get some good friends showing up if you get attacked.
Could be some cascading effects for sure.
And then everybody dies.
So this has been Polycast episode 263. My name is Dino Yoshi, and I've been joined by regular co-host Dan Q.
Mounted.
Makalua.
If that's your thing, I guess.
Mad Jin.
That's what it sounds like. Mackie doesn't like getting mounted.
And other guest host Rostock.
Yep. Do love Polycast. It's really grown on me. 10 years, Dan. That's pretty amazing. For Exus fanboy.
How do you spell that? Like...
That's a good question.
O-Y.
Just to be clear.
I've got to go listen to episode one of these days.
There's a score of victory. Why wasn't that eliminated? Anyway.
I would like to put it out there for the people who spent way too much effort on the Oxford comma argument. Yeah, there was a reason you don't use an Oxford comma when they're telling you the truth. And it's not ambiguous. Multiple leaders confirmed, and they didn't need the stupid comma. Just saying. Normal wars that aren't so surprising.
Oh man, normal wars. What's a normal war, Matt?
It's the one where you lose.
No. It's where you've already lost the word. What the hell is it?
You know,
you don't have a cause
of
spelling.
Now, I love these pictures where you have this time of day and you can see the cities at night. That's not a normal way you play the game, but that's under your control of the game. You can do that. So you got these lit up cities.
Incredible.
Oh, yeah. And speaking of stuff, since there's a whole new planet that has been found, Earth-like, in Proxima Centauri,
mm-hmm.
which is very, very close to that Alpha Centauri that we all love to go to in Civ games, petitioned to change Alpha Centauri to that one.
Well, we might as well, because Electronic Arts has embargoed us from going to Alpha Centauri.
That's one way to get around it.
Sid Meier's Proxima Centauri, with a big old drawn-up finger for EA.
Yep. I like it. Approved.
It's not smack.
Guess what, people? If you only put your show on YouTube, it's not a podcast.
Right.
Okay, look up your definitions. You will take your Soylent Green and you will like it.
And you will not think about the fact it's people.
You see, kids.
It's older than everybody here.
Yeah, it seems like pretty well every podcast recording. There's always at least that preference once. You see, kids. And kids is a very generic term. It doesn't necessarily mean 17 and under. You know, we're all kids once, or from our parents' perspective, we're always their kid. We're always their child. Aww.
Uh-huh.
And, in the same breath.
Exactly.
Are they going to let us know, for example, at some point, access level, Egypt has hooked up excess whatever, and then you think, oh, hey, I'd like that, so then I go initiate a trade deal. That'd be nice.
Be nice.
Well, we can't have nice things, so I guess I've kind of ruled out us giving that. Mm. Oh, whoops.
Probably.
Tells you how often all of us play the space victory these days.
Switch it to Proxima, and then it's more realistic. And then the end of the tech tree is more closer to reality.
And that moment when Mackie's microphone gave Matt some fanfare.
Oh, fan. Fan, why are you doing this?
The funny thing, though, is when you were doing the segue, my brain actually started, like, hearing, like, the music that's, like, in between the different segments. My brain automatically did that.
Wow. Auto-editing your Vino brain.
That's great. So you were waiting for the music to stop.
This is going to make it into the blooper reel, isn't it?
Record date August 20th, 2016. Civilization 6 lives copyright 2K Games. Civilization 4, 5, and Beyond Earth sound clips copyright Take-Two Interactive. Copyright Civilized Communication at civcom.net.